So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, I know this is an old story, but it's a football story, so it's got to be a good one. And for the girls, just bear with me. If you don't like football, just try to imagine this with me, okay? It's October 25th, 1964, so a really old game. The Minnesota Vikings were playing the San Francisco 49ers in a regular season game. Now, the quarterback for the 49ers was Billy Kilmer. Now, Billy Kilmer got the ball, and it was a fourth down, and they wanted to run and score just a couple extra yards. So usually a quarterback doesn't run the ball, but this time he did. Now, when he was going up, this guy named Jim Marshall hits him really hard, and Billy Kilmer, the quarterback, loses the ball. Now, any defensive player knows this. When the ball is on the ground, you get the ball. That's the number one priority. So not only did Jim Marshall get the ball for the Vikings, but he also had an open lane to the end zone. So he grabs the ball, and he starts running as fast as he can to the end zone. Now, defensive players usually don't score, just so you guys know. There's offensive players and defensive players. So for a defensive player to score, it's like literally their whole entire life has come to this one moment of scoring. And if they don't score, then they're not famous ever, and no one remembers them. Now, if they score, then they're famous. So Jim Marshall is so excited that he got the ball, he starts running, and he makes it to the end zone. And in all of his excitement, like any defensive player would do, he chucks the ball into the stands. Now, what he didn't realize was he ran the wrong way. Jim Marshall ran into his own end zone, threw the ball out, resulting in a safety, which means his team lost 2 points, and then they lose possession again. So it's literally the worst thing you can do as a defensive player. Got a safety for his own team. Now what happened here? He was so excited about doing something good that he forgot one really important principle. And today in John chapter 4, we're going to look at a similar instance where the disciples were doing something good, but they missed a very important principle that resulted in them missing everything. So if you're there with me in John chapter 4, we're going to read verse 28 to verse 34 just to start off with. We're going to end up reading almost the entire chapter, so just bear with me. Verse 28 says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So today we're going to look at three different types of food. Now these different foods that you eat, these are representations of the lifestyles of the people in this story right here. All right, now this is a true story. Jesus is talking to them. Now, as you guys are familiar with the story, it's the story of the woman at the well. Now she was a Samaritan. All right, now Samaritans weren't really liked by the Jews. The Jews weren't really supposed to talk to the Samaritans. It was just, you know, the culture of that day. It was just kind of like they weren't liked. So for Jesus to stop and talk to a Samaritan was very different, and the disciples didn't really know what was going on. But the first type of food we're going to look at here is junk food. Now, anybody who's ever, you know, gone on a diet would understand this principle. Now, I went on a diet this past year. I was heavier than I ever was when I came back from school this summer, and I was like, I got to change that. So starting this school year, I started a diet. I ended up losing 30 pounds. Now, how do you do that? Well, number one, do not eat junk food. No sugar, no anything like that. You got to eat healthy food. So here we see junk food. Junk food is something that is bad. Junk food is something that everybody knows is wrong, but it's tempting. Because if you're eating broccoli every day of your life, your taste buds are going to probably die because they're not tasting anything for your entire life. So, I mean, it's a trade-off there. You're going to lose weight, but you're also going to lose your taste buds. So that's why people eat junk food. It tastes good. Now, relate that to sin. Okay, here we have the woman at the well. If we start in verse number 7, it says, There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. So Jesus is coming up here. She's at the well. And it's about noontime, as you'll see. In verse 8, it says, For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So it's about noontime. And they come to this well. And it's actually Jacob's well, as people speculate. So this widow woman, or not the widow woman, the woman at the well, she's sitting there, and she's about to get water. Now, most of the women go earlier in the day because if you go at noontime, the sun's going to be really hot, and just people don't go at that time. So for her to be there at that time was kind of weird. And so she's there drawing water from the well, and then Jesus comes up, and he's like, I need something to drink. Can you help me out? Give me something to drink. And then it says in verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me to drink when I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And then if you jump over in, let's see, verse 27, it says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So why are they marveling that he's talking to this woman? Well, because she's a Samaritan. A Jew wouldn't usually talk to a Samaritan, as we've gone over already. Now, if you go back to verse 10, this is Jesus' response to why he's talking to the Samaritan. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So here he's saying, I'm asking you for something to drink, but if you knew who I was, you would be the one asking me. I have living water. And so the woman in verse 11 says unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And then in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So he's basically saying, I have water that will never run dry. So if you drink from this well, you're going to thirst again. Maybe, you know, a couple hours later, you're going to get a cup of water, you're going to drink it. But you come and drink from the everlasting life that I have to give. What is the everlasting life? That's salvation. If you drink of this water, you will never, ever thirst again. And then the woman is confused. In verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Now, this is obviously not a good thing. She's had five husbands before, and now she's living with a guy, and she's not even married to him. So here we finally see the junk food. It's a sinful life, and maybe, I don't know if anybody can relate to this, maybe some of you guys are in this stage right now. Maybe you're eating of junk food, and maybe, yeah, it tastes good right now. Sin is pleasure for a season. Maybe you're in sin. Maybe you know it. I don't think there's many of us that sin, I guess, by accident most of the time. Most of the time, you know, when I find myself in sin, it's because I don't feel like it, or I don't feel like fighting for doing what's right. When we eat junk food, how many of us know the junk food is good for us or think the junk food's good for us? None of us really do. All of us know that the junk food's bad, but then why do we eat it? We eat it because it's a weak moment, or we just give up. So maybe you find yourself in the junk food stage where you're going to sin. Most of us know the sins that are wrong, but we do them anyways. So if you're in the junk food stage, this is representation of the water that you can drink once. It'll satisfy you for a little time, but after that, you're going to be thirsty again. You can sin, and it's pleasure for a season, but after that, you're going to have no pleasure. And then you're going to need to go back, and the sin's going to keep on growing and growing and growing. But Jesus has everlasting water. Now, this is also eternal life. So if any of you guys in this room, I know it's possible somebody here is not saved. If any of you guys are not saved, come talk to me after the service, and I can get that squared away, or any of the youth leaders here. Jesus can give you water that will satisfy. You can be saved, and you can be freed from that sinful man that you are. All right, now, so first we've seen the junk food that you can eat. Now, we all know that that's wrong, so we shouldn't be eating that. But now we're going to look at the good food. Now, this food isn't the best food, but this is good. So this is something that's, you know, healthy. So, like, you know, asparagus, broccoli, all those things that we all hate. The good food, it's hard to do. It's the right thing. Maybe you're doing the right thing. It might be hard to do, but you're doing the right thing. Now, this is represented by the disciples. So in John 4, 8, we see, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." So like I said, it was around lunchtime, and they were hungry, so what do? You go get food. So they were going to buy meat. So they obviously had a concern. If you look in John 4, verse 31, it says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." So they went into the city, and they got meat. And then when they came back from the city, Jesus was talking to this woman, and they were really confused about why he was talking to this woman. But they went up to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, it's lunchtime, you need to eat. Come on, let's eat." And Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And they're confused now. They're like, "I don't know what you're talking about. We have meat right here. Did somebody give him something to eat?" And he says, "No. The meat that I had is better." So what's the application here? The disciples went to the same city that the Samaritan woman went to. The Samaritan woman believed on Jesus, and she went to the city and told the people, it says, all the things that Jesus did. And now I researched it. It's not for sure, but this city, people say, it's most common that they say this, is about a half mile away. So for people to leave the city would be a half mile walk there to the well and a half mile walk back in the middle of the day when it's really hot. So I don't know, if I was like, "Hey, come look at this thing that's really cool," and I just called you from the front row, you know, it would be easy to get up. But if I was like, "Hey, you want to go a half mile walk there with me and then walk a half mile back just to see something?" You'd be like, "Well, is it really worth it?" Well, this woman at the well went to the city, sidecar, and then she came back with almost everybody in the city. She came back with almost everybody in the city to show them what Jesus did. And it says that almost the entire city believed. You read till the end of the chapter, I don't have much time to do that. But it says that Jesus stayed there an extra 2 days. Now, the whole entire city to walk a half mile there and a half mile back in the middle of the day means that this just wasn't, "Oh, come look at this card trick or something cool that I have." This means it was something really special. For me to walk a mile in the heat, that takes something pretty special. So they obviously believed this woman had changed. Now, what about the disciples? Weren't the disciples in the same city before that? Yeah, but they were focused on the meat. Now, is eating wrong? No. Were they eating junk food, like the woman at the well? No. They were doing something good. Now, maybe you find yourself in this category. You're doing things that are good. Maybe, you know, you're focused on good grades in school. You're focused on having good friends. And you're doing the right thing. But Jesus says, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." He was about his Father's business, as he was when he was left at the temple. Jesus was always focused on the heavenly food, which is our next point. So you may be eating junk food, you may be eating good food, but lastly we see the heavenly food. So here in verse 34 it says, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Now, this verse is usually a verse that we look at in a missions perspective. You know, they say the fields are white for harvest, let's go out and be missionaries. But really, if you think about it, this verse is something that every single one of us can do now. You can be thinking about getting good grades, like I said, good relationships, you can be working on sports, you can be getting fit. Those are all good things. Those aren't junk food. Those aren't sinful things. But those aren't necessarily heavenly things. And those aren't wrong. The disciples had to go to the city to get the meat. But what they missed was doing the good things while they were focused on the heavenly things at the same time. So for us, when we go to school and we're focused on good grades, are we focused on being a witness there? Or are we just there to get good grades? When we're focused on our friends and we're making good friendships, are we there to be a witness to them? Are we there to encourage them spiritually? Or are we just looking for someone to hang around, to give us some fun? You know, when we go to the gym to work out or whatever, are we being a testimony there? Are we just, you know, blaring music that we shouldn't be playing and losing our testimony? You know, when you're playing sports, are you doing the right thing? Are you cussing on the basketball court? Are you doing things that you shouldn't be doing? Because you can play sports all you want. You can lose your temper there, and you're doing a good thing, which is sports, but you can miss the entire picture. If you lose your testimony, that person could go and they could die and go to hell. So really, you think about it, we could be getting the good meats, but missing the heavenly meats. Now, these give good results. If you look in verse 36, it says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and that he that reapeth may rejoice together. So he's saying, look, if you guys are focused on the heavenly things, this isn't just good for you. You know, you're going to get a reward in heaven. But it's also good for the people that you're helping. So you do go to the gym and you have a good testimony, or you go play basketball, or you play some sports, or you go hang out with your friends and you have a good testimony, that person comes to you and says, hey, what's different about you? Why don't you cuss? Why don't you come to these parties that we're going to? Why aren't you doing what we're doing? And you say, well, it's because I'm living for Jesus. And they say, well, who's that? You know, why are you living for Jesus? You get a chance to share the gospel, they get saved. You know, that's an awesome thing. I don't think any of us would be upset about that. But also the person that got saved, they also reap the benefits of that. So heavenly food isn't just good for you, but when you eat it, it's good for those around you. And then continue on to verse 38, it says, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. So this is a whole nother point. We've kind of gone through the three foods already, the junk food, the good food, and the heavenly food, but now we're going to go into the application of it. How do you go for heavenly food? In verse 38, it says, I sent ye to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. What does that mean? That means he sent you to gather the harvest. The fields are white for harvest. They're already ready. He sent you to gather something that's already ready. Now, some of you in this room, there's two different types of laborers in this passage. There's the one that goes out and does all of the work and then isn't there to see the results. So imagine a farmer that goes and plants the seed, and he plants it day in, day out, waters the grass. He's taking care of the plants, and he works basically months on end for this one crop, and then he leaves and someone else goes and harvests it. So this may be some of us spiritually. We may be going out. We may be being a good witness, playing a sports game, keeping our testimony, and it seems like nothing's working. You know, no one's come to us and said, you know, how do I be saved? No one's come and seen a difference in us. People still might make fun of you for what you're doing. They might say, oh, you're just a Bible believer. You're just one of those people. You may be at school doing that, and we might see no results. But that doesn't mean give up. The fields are white for harvest, but they didn't get that way just from anybody doing nothing. Not everyone's going to go and going to harvest. Some of you guys are going to go into schools, and you're going to witness, and you're going to plant the seed. Now, the other type of laborer is the harvester. These people, it says the fields are already white for harvest. Someone went and did all of the work for you. All you have to do is go, and God will give you the blessing. But we're not going to see it unless we're looking for it. The disciples had the same exact people in the city that the woman at the well went to. Now, it's just a matter of who witnessed to them first. The woman at the well witnessed to them, and she was looking for the heavenly food, and she found it. Are you guys looking for heavenly food where you go? Are you looking for things that you can do right to be a witness? Now, for those of you who are the laborers who sow the seed, but you don't see any reaping from that, don't get discouraged, because there's a lot of people, missionaries, that there's a ton of missionary stories, I'm sure, that they can tell you, the Pittmans. There's a ton of missionaries that go, and they just spend their entire life witnessing, and no one gets saved. But after that, someone got saved because of their testimony. And because of that, it makes a huge difference and starts revivals. I had a roommate in college my sophomore year that just, he wasn't doing the right thing. And it was kind of like two guys in the room just really weren't doing the right thing. Now, if it's just one guy, you know, you have three other guys in the room, it's obvious to tell him that he's wrong. And it's hard for him to do what's wrong because everyone else is doing what's right. But in this room, it was two people doing right and two people doing wrong. And I kept on telling him, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. You know this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. And he ignored me. He just blew me off. And he was like, nope, I'm just going to do what I want. And so he did that. And I kept on praying for him every single day. And it got to the summer. I was actually at the ranch that summer. And so I didn't have my phone with me throughout the week. I only get my phone on the weekends. And usually, you know, I get a couple text messages and then I respond to them. But everybody knew I didn't have my phone. This one week, I went to get my phone. And I turned my phone on, and I had like 90-something messages. And I was like, wow. I was like, what's going on? You know, I checked him. It's that kid from college. He messaged me, and he said, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you at the time. I was doing my own thing, and I really wanted to do my own thing. But in the end, I heard a message from someone else, and it just broke my heart because everything you said reminded me of you, reminded me of every time you went to me and you told me what was right. And I just remembered you being consistent. You never gave up. And so because of that, I decided I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to serve the Lord. And the next year, I went back to college, and now he's serving the Lord faithfully, and he's doing what's right. He went through some hard times, but he still chose to do what's right. And so, you know, I got to see the results of that. Some of you guys may be sowing every single day and not see any results at all. But don't give up, because if I never got that text message, it still would have been worth it pouring my entire year into one kid that never listened. Because you never know. They might just be putting up a front that they're not listening. So keep on doing what's right. So here we see we have junk food. This is the food that you should not eat. Everybody knows it's wrong. Don't give in to the temptation. We see the good food. These are things that you guys should be doing. You guys should be responsible with school. You should be responsible with your health. You should be doing stuff like that. But then thirdly, we see the heavenly food. The things that we need to always be focused on. Even if we're doing good things, we need to be focused on the heavenly food. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for these teens, and I thank you for just giving them the opportunity to come here, Lord, to a church where we have the Bible being preached, Lord, and where they can just read it in their own language, Lord. There are people in this world that don't have the Bible in their own language yet that have not heard about you, Lord. I pray that we would live a lifestyle that's focused on heavenly food, or not just the good things, and definitely not the bad things, but not just the good things, Lord, but also the heavenly things. I pray that you'll help these teens as we go from here to the main service. I pray this all in your name. Amen.